In an island state, you might make the case that water is especially precious, but you wouldn't need to. The state and counties tell us that all the time. So how can it be that on Kauai, a state agency can be allowed to overly drain and even dump water? That's the central question of a lawsuit brought by Earth Justice. The water in question is the Waimea River, and attorney Isaac Moriwaki joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how can it be when we have such strong state laws, some of the best laws in the country for environmental issues, that we can have water being thrown over and dumped?
You're right. We have in Hawaii some of the strongest laws regarding the environment, and particularly water. Water is a public trust. It's not private property. It's not something you can sell. It's not something you can take for yourself and just waste. And it's recognized in our laws up to our state constitution. And yet, like you say, here we have the state itself, never mind the private plantations, the companies, but here the state itself is taking the water and wasting it, dumping into dry gullies, dumping it over cliffs, and leaving Waimea River, one of the largest rivers in the entire state, either dry or slow dribble. And why does this happen? I ask myself this all the time. It's happening a lot across the state. The old plantation diverters just want to hoard the water. And they basically think they're above the law, or as long as no one will call them on it, they can keep on doing it.
So they're looking at water still as a commodity. And specifically, you're talking about the Agribusiness Development Corporation and the Ke Kaha Agricultural Association on Kauai with the Waimea River, yes?
With the Waimea River, yes. It's ADC, Agribusiness Development Corporation, which is a quasi-state agency that was created to transition Hawaii from the plantations to, you know, diversified agriculture, different kinds of agriculture. And then Ke Kaha Agribusiness Association is just the tenant co-op, basically.
And we're not in a place anymore where we actually have a big need for sugar to suck up all that water. So, again, in all this time, because it's been, what, since 2001 or so that the plantation went away?
In this case, right, 2001.
In all this time, how can it be that this water can be summarily just shot over a cliff?
Again, the diverters, a lot of them are still operating.
But, I mean, nobody's called them on it.
That's right. That's the bottom line. Until someone calls them on it, I suppose the diverters think they're above the law and they can just keep, you know, on doing what they always done did during the plantation era, which is treat water like private property and use it however they want to, or not use it, waste it.
At this point, since you are calling them on it, have they responded to you at all?
No, not at this point.
But you do have pictures of water being dumped, thrown over the ridge?
That's right. I'm red-handed, catching them red-handed, dumping it over cliffs into dry gullies going to nowhere. Into drainage ditches on the Makai Plain that flow right to the ocean. Just as compelling as these pictures is just a simple math. Sugar is one of the most notoriously thirsty crops of them all. And when the sugar plantations went, there's excess all over the place. And water, a lot of water can be put back into the rivers and streams where they can flow naturally, as they did before the plantations came. The plantations just took all the water again and used it as a source of private profit. But now is a prime opportunity, with the plantations basically gone throughout the state, for us to, you know, undo the damage that we did and build a kind of agriculture here in this state that's sustainable, you know, and environmentally responsible.
Which we've been talking about for several years. And the idea that we have to be good stewards, all of that, you know, the idea that from the mountain to the sea, everything flows together and we better look at it as one whole, you know,
system.
System.
Yep.
And yet we seem to forget that when it's convenient to forget it. You're really talking about changing a mindset.
It really is a mindset that is persisting for some reason, and particularly on the neighbor islands. We're involved in a case in Maui and Navaeha, and that's gone on for almost 10 years now, where, well, in that case, there's a plantation that's still existing, but there were two plantations. One went away, and then the water still didn't return to the rivers and the streams. And again, it's a mindset back from the 19th century when it started, that this is our private property, we can do it with it whatever we want to, and the bottom line is profits, and that's all we need to care about. Times have changed. Agriculture has changed. Now green is the fashionable thing. And we talk about Mackay, Malka to Mackay, the need to support that system, both the natural system and the cultural system, from the mountains to the ocean. But walking the walk now in the 21st century is still not happening, and something, you know, that we're working on community by community.
As you do that community by community and look at the smaller projects and certainly a larger issue like this, is there really the understanding that there's also sort of, you know, the fear component too, that on the other side, perhaps they feel that if they release the water, it's going to be tough to get it back. It's a lot better when you're hanging on to something than to think about, well, as we're changing agriculture, we'll probably be able to get it back from public trust, or that there will be too much resistance to that too. Is there a way of putting away some of those fears on both sides and being able to meet somewhere in the middle?
I'm open to that. I think the community is open to that. I can't get into the psychology of the diverters because I'm not in their shoes, but I'm sure there's some of that small-mindedness. You know, if we try to share the water, then people won't let us take it back if we wanted to. But, you know,
but water. Yeah, we need agriculture, and we talk about all the time trying to create some sort of sustainability at some level. We need water to do that. That's kind of logical.
Absolutely. And the environmentalists and Native Hawaiians that are calling for stream restoration aren't blind to that. And in fact, they support agriculture, but they want it to be responsible in the 21st century. You know, in terms of the psychology of hoarding water, we see this on the mainland, of course, in California or wherever, you know, in other Western states where water is very scarce. And there's legal and other kinds of fights over that resource. But on Maui, we definitely saw that, where the plantations were trying to hang on to it as much as possible, and they were making plans to use that water for development and to treat it and to sell it.
Well, we're going to watch this case and hope it's not going to take 10 years to come to some sort of a conclusion, and that there can be a good solution for everybody, because there's only a finite amount of water.
I think the key is responsibility on all parties involved and leadership in a part of the state.
Thanks very much for coming in,
Thank
Isaac.
Thank you very much.
Isaac Morawaki is an attorney in the Honolulu Office of Earth Justice, the public interest environmental law firm. It filed a lawsuit on behalf of citizens who want the Waimea River restored, and more about it is on HPR2.org.